And I want to ask you a question. As we are studying this Lord's Prayer, your desire to pray has been increased and you've been praying. If that's you, would you say amen? Weak. You could hear that, right? Weak. Yeah. But I want you to hear that. I really want you to hear that. Okay? Today, this message is very, very... I think continental dividing. So I ask your attention. And the title of the message for today is Your Will Be Done. Your will be done. Whose will is that? Yours? It's not. When we're saying your will be done, we're talking about Father's will. God's will. Okay? So let's talk about that. When we say we are created in the image of God, and you all are, among other important meanings, you have will. You do have will, which means you desire something, and you are a volitional being. In other words, you have a desire to live a certain way. You desire this or desire that. Am I going to have apple? Or candies. Some people struggle with that. Yeah. Apple or candies. Am I going to listen to him or am I going to just blow him off? Am I going to obey what is being preached here or are you going to just kind of brush it off as you have been doing for so long? You're a volitional being. Okay. You have will. Okay. Should I sit here and listen or should I get out of here? Why bother? Right? So this volition or desire and what you want, you have actually. Okay, my desire, what I want, what I want to do, what I want to eat, what I want to have, and what I want to feel, and that's how you choose. That's how you choose. Will I take this train? Will I get off from this train? You choose. You choose. You have your will. Okay? And then there is God's will. If you're a Christian, you have your will and God's will. If you're not a Christian, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you only have your will. Okay, think about that. You don't care about God's will. You don't care about your Father's will because he's not really your Father. But if you're a Christian, you do have your will. Okay? And Jesus is saying, not my will, but your will. Okay, so that's where I want to begin. And I want to just talk about will a little bit. My will or free will. That's going to wake up some of you. You have free will. You do. God did not make you as a robot. You are not AIs. You do have your mind. You do have your desires. And you do have your nature, your inclination, your disposition. You do have it. Okay? But most people in the West, including some Christians, accept what is called the libertarian, the view of free will. And this is what it is. Very simple. It means we have ability to make spontaneous choices contrary to your nature and disposition. Now think about that. In other words, what makes you decide whether you're going to eat this or eat that? It's that spontaneous decision, and you have no preference, you have no prejudice, and you have no disposition. Does that make sense to you? Okay, but that's the view so many people take in this world, including some Christians. In other words, nothing determines our choices. We are always able to choose good or evil, whatever you want to choose. And basically, they are saying, my will is neutral. Neutral. But think about that. Logically, there's a problem with this view with two reasons. Number one, if you don't have any preference, if you don't have any desire, if you don't have any disposition, how do you choose? How do you choose? Does that make sense? Do I want to go this direction or do I want to go that direction? If you don't have any desire, neutral, which train will you take? How would you choose? Second one is even more illogical. If you don't have any preference, if you don't have any disposition, if you don't have a desire, why would you choose? Does that make sense? So, you are at a fork of a road. Let's say you are at a fork. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I take this train or should I take this train? You are at a fork and you must choose. But if you are neutral, how are you going to choose? Better yet, why would you want to choose if you're neutral? Right? So this neutral will makes no logical sense. Bible is clear. Your will is not neutral. Okay, your will is not neutral. You have nature and inclination and desire. Okay? And biblical truth is in from Romans chapter 3, very basically, you are all under sin. No exception, under sin. What is sin? Sin is basically not disobeying. God's will, if you live accordingly, you are living a life of obedience. If you don't live God's will, and if you live your will, which is contrary to His will, you are living a life of disobedience. Simple as that. One, we call that sin. One, we call that obedience. So my will and God's will thing is very, very important. You are all under sin, and the nature of sin is you want to live a life of disobedience. My will. Don't you want to do that, if you think about it? I hear some people say, I just want nobody to tell me what to do. Are you like that? I heard that. I just want nobody to tell me what to do. I want to live. I want to have my own space, and I want to be the king. Basically, that's what people say. So you're under sin. No one is righteous, not even one. No one understands. And listen to this. No one seeks for God. No one seeks God's will. No one does good. Not even one. Biblical truth. Biblical diagnosis of human being. Entire human being. Are you intrigued? Do you really have a desire to live to His will? Do you care? I'm really asking you this question. You are under sin, and therefore, no one seeks for God, and no one does good, not even one. Okay? Prayer is seeking God. What happened? Unless something changed, you will never seek God. Bible says no one seeks for God, as you may be the case with you. No one cares about His will. All I care is about my will. But prayer is communing with the Father. Do you have a Father? Is God your Father? I've been asking this question every single time. Is God your Father? If not, you're not praying. You don't want to pray. You don't care about His will. You're going to continue to live this life according to your will, your inclination, your disposition, your volition, which is the opposite of what God desires, and life of disobedience. So prayer is to commune with the living God, and He's our Heavenly Father. Basically, lifting up your eyes and seeing Him. Could you look at me? How many of you look up to see God? Do you do that? Or do you always look at tangible things and worldly things? That's what the difference between a life of prayer and without a prayer. Okay? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, we have a great high priest, and Jesus is alive right now. He was resurrected with a body. Look at me. Body, I'm wearing a polo shirt. He has a body, glorified body, sitting on a throne, reigning the universe, and He's praying for His children, interceding as a high priest. So it says in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest, referring to Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. When we come to prayer, He's not a nasty person. What's wrong with you? He doesn't do that. Why? Because we have one who in every respect have been tempted as we are. Did you know that? Jesus was tempted in every way. Financially. You want to be rich, right? You look at your stock market going up and down every 10 minutes. You wake up to check that. Jesus was tempted with money. Jesus was tempted with sexual temptations too, as you are, as I am. He was tempted in every way. He was tempted with respecting and honoring parents or not. He did, as you have. He was tempted with, he didn't have a marital thing, but he was tempted, Bible says, in every way, yet without sin, which means without disobedience, without following his own will. Therefore, let us then, with confidence, draw near. You know what prayer is? Drawing near to God. People say, Pastor Paul, you don't realize people act differently before in front of you. Is that a true statement? And they always tell me what you see with your eyes is not everything. I know that. Imagine you're standing before the living God every single day. How would you live? I think you would live sincerely, don't you think? Instead of lying all the time, pretentious and just kind of faking it, being a hypocrite all the time, I think you will be sincere, don't you think? What prayer is being drawn near to him. Prayerlessness is just, you are just so far from him. You don't care about him. You don't care about his will. You just continue to live your own will. Last few weeks, we have been learning about prayer. An object of our prayer is Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. Is God your Father? I know I'm kind of like bothering you, but that's my intention. I don't want you to be neutral sitting here, because you're not neutral. None of you are neutral. Okay? Object of our prayer is our Heavenly Father. We also learn the foundational petition, or the purpose of prayer is what? Hallowed be thy name. Glorify him. Prayer is not really about glorifying you. Sin is about glorifying you. By nature, sin is very, very selfish. That's what sin is. How selfish? You want the throne of your life. That's how selfish you are. That's how selfish you are without God changing your life. You, only thing you think about is you, your recognition, your honor, your gain, your kids, it's all about sin. That's what sin is. So prayer is about the foundational petition for the prayer. The purpose of prayer is to hallow be thy name. His name is be glorified. And how do you do that? We started to talk about it last week. May his kingdom come. And the truth is, his kingdom has come and is coming for good. Would you look at me? His kingdom will come. Every knee will be bowed. Every tongue will confess, Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Lord. And you will too. If you do it now here, you will live a purposeful life for the kingdom. If you don't, at that day you will. Okay? So we're talking about kingship and lordship of Jesus Christ. And my question to you again is Jesus Lord of your life? If not, there is no prayer in your life. Prayers don't work. Every religion prays. But Jesus said, the Bible says, pray in Jesus' name. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that's a formula that you need to use, abracadabra. It's not that. It's your relationship with Jesus. It's Jesus, Lord of your life, to whom you are living for. If not, there is no prayer. Today we want to continue the part how God's name may be glorified and honored, which is the second half of verse 10, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. Can I just ask you, how many of you care about God's will upon your life? Would you say amen if you do? Amen. I don't know about you. When I graduated from dental school, college, and I got acceptance letter to dental school that I really wanted to go, Lord called me. In fact, he just revealed his greatness. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. It wasn't a like spectacular revival or anything like that. It was on a missions trip with Operation Mobilization. And that verse was repeated to my ear, just again and again and again. And I find myself, there were about 500 people from all over the United States gathered at Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. I still remember. Everyone left, but I was kind of pinned to the chair. I couldn't move. Did you ever experience something like that? I was just there and thinking, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It is about his hallowing his name. If that is the case, why would I live for anything else? And that was the conviction I had. So I said to the Lord, Lord, doesn't matter how I live, but I want to live for you. I guess what I was saying was, I want to live to your purpose and your will. Do you have a desire to live for him? If you're not, I think you need to meet Christ. I don't think he's the Lord of your life. If he's the Lord of your life and his great, great love and sacrifice for you, you would want to live for him. Here, the purpose of prayer is really, really clear. Prayer is not about your will be done through his strength, but the prayer is about your will be submitted to his will so that you will live according to his will. That's what the prayer is. If you catch it, can you say amen? That's what it is, people. Otherwise, Jesus is not Lord of your life. You don't want to live his purpose, which means you have no connection to pray, right? You can't do that. So the prayer is to seek and to ask and to confirm, to fortify, I call it, and to submit to his will so that I will live to his purpose. And that's a great thing, people. That's a great thing. Okay? That is to say, I may be obedient to his will. If you continue to live your will against his will, you are living the life of disobedience, life of sin. Okay? And we are praying that we'll be obedient to his will and his purpose and his desire upon my life, my family, and my church. And that is to say, I love this statement, he becomes my world. That's what we sang today. You are my world. You are my God. I love this song. You are my world. You are my God. It's not my marriage. It's not my children. It's not my ministry. It's not making a few more dollars. It's not buying this. It's not traveling there. That's not my world. He's my world. And living for him is my world. So if you notice, there are two wills. If you're a Christian, you are living with two wills, my will and his will. Okay? Which one are you following right now? Do you care to follow? Does it matter to you? I want to share a few verses from the scripture. I want to show this. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallow means glorify. Glorify your name. Your kingdom come, and it's going to come, people. Whether you pray or not, it's going to come. But we are praying that your kingdom will come upon your life and upon your family, upon your children, upon your parents, so that they will come to know Christ and living under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Do you care about that? Okay? And today, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know you repeated this statement if you went to church ever since you were a child for thousands of times. Do you know what that means? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me just give you a heads up. How do you think Christians in heaven right now obeying him? Ah, man, he's telling me what to do again. Oh, I can't believe this. What do you think he is? Do you think people in heaven will answer, try to obey him like that? Absolutely not. There is no sin, which means there is no trace of disobedience in heaven. But Jesus is the King and the love of my life. He's my world. When Jesus tells me what to do, the King tells me what to do, you will be like, yes, Lord, I'm so thankful that you tell me what to do. I want to obey him. In heaven, there is no sin. With a great eager, great desire, great passion, yes, I want to live for you. I want to obey you. And that is the joy of my life. And I really do believe it is like that. And we're praying that your will be done on earth right now in my life as it is in heaven. How many of you desire to live like that? Would you say amen? Jesus said in John chapter 4, Jesus is having an encounter with a woman you would consider as very, very substandard. A woman who was divorced 5 times. Do you know anybody who divorced 5 times? Even in our promiscuous culture, it's rare. But in a biblical culture, that's like, oh my goodness. She was divorced 5 times. She was a Samaritan, which means she was a mixed race between Jew and Assyrian. And Jews consider them as subhuman. And she basically lived with men just to survive. And the whole chapter carries the longest conversation between God and or Jesus and any other human being in the Bible, I think. So interesting. Disciples in the town of Sychar in Samaria, they went food shopping. They were hungry. I don't know why all of them went except Jesus. But Jesus was left with this one woman and basically said, if you drink this water, you will be thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst. Are you thirsty? He was hungry and she was thirsty. You know why you get thirsty and you know why you get hungry? You know why? Because God's mechanism of your body so that you know you need food and you need water. It's God's mechanism, God's creation. So after the conversation with the Samaritan woman, disciples came back with food, I suppose. I don't know. Falafel, I don't know. I don't know what they brought, right? Lamb burger, I don't know. Whatever they brought. Jesus, eat this, eat this. And then Jesus said something amazing. I have food to eat that you do not know about. I have food to eat that you do not know about. And then he said this famous verse. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Let me repeat that because this is an important verse. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I'm going to explain that. And then, Jesus said, do you not say, oh, there are 4 months and then the harvest? In other words, if you see, it's not winter yet. It's not time of harvest yet. Still, it's going to take another 4 months. But Jesus says, but lift up your eyes and see, harvest is ready. And I get this interesting insight. You know what prayer is? Lifting up your eyes and seeing what Jesus sees. That's what prayer is. It's going to take another 4 months. And he says, no, it's ready. It's ready. Do you get it? With your human naked eyes, you don't see anything. We started Bayside Missions last Friday, and it's an exciting ministry. It really is, actually. The whole world is coming to Bayside. But people don't see it. People don't see anything exciting about that. Right? So prayer is lifting up your eyes and seeing what Jesus sees. And I want to explain what he meant by my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. What is food? What is the food for? How many of you like food and eating? Would you say amen? liars, rest of your liars. I know you do. I love eating. You know what? You know what food is? Food is my sustenance, which means it's my strength, my nutrient. It gives me life. Do you get it? And it satisfies, secondly, satisfy my hunger. What is hunger? It is God-given mechanism that basically you need food, you need nutrients, you need to eat. How many of you don't eat and you never get hungry? Would you say amen? You're not a human being. Do you catch that? So hunger is the desire, to take on intake food because your body is saying, crying out for food and nutrients. It's God's mechanism. So when you eat, when you're hungry, what happens to you? You are satisfied. And when you're satisfied, you're sad? You're joyful. Do you catch it? Jesus is saying, doing the will of the Father. Father's will is my sustenance, my life. What brings me satisfaction? What brings me joy in my soul? Can I just ask you, is your life satisfied? Is your life satisfied? I'm really asking you this question. Are you satisfied with your life? Why not? Why? Jesus said, my food is to the will of him who sent me and to finish, to accomplish his work. I hope you get the message. If you are living for your own purpose and your will, you're going to be depleted, malnutritioned, and eventually die. Okay? Jesus saying, Jesus God, who is God and man, and basically we are to become like him and to be transformed as like him as a Christian. His food and his sustenance, his life, his strength and joy is to do the will of him. Not knowing the will of him, but doing the will of him. The word to do is poieo, sounds Spanish, but it's a Greek word. And basically it means to do. Actually to do. It's not, oh, I need to do that. That's not to do. But to do. Actually, you are obeying him. That brings satisfaction. Okay? It is not about knowing in your head. A lot of people wonder with that. I kind of know that. I know I have to get off the train. Have you get off the train yet? Knowing in your head and doing poieo is two completely different things. And I've been thinking about this because a lot of people say this. In the book of James, James says to people who think they're Christians, do you believe that there is only one God? And I hope you do. And he goes, good, even the demons believe that. That's what the Bible says. Do you catch that? Do you believe that there is only one God? Good, even the demons believe that. Demons do not believe for salvation. They do not put their trust for salvation. But even demons believe that there is only one God. And yet so many human beings try to argue, right? There is a God, let alone to obey his life. Matthew chapter 7 says, not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at me, please. Do you say Jesus is the Lord? Not every one of you will enter. That's what the scripture states. Then who will enter? He says, but the one who does poieo, who does the will of the Father. Do you catch it? Knowing? No, that's not going to help you. That's not going to help you. To do, who does the will of the Father, who is in heaven. It is not Jesus. If not, Jesus said, and he will declare, on the final day, on the day of judgment, he's going to say to you, look at me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Is Jesus your Father? Do you desire to live to do his will? They do not go separately, people. Okay, I never knew you. So here's the question then. How does we desire to do His will? Could you answer to yourself? Do you desire to live for His purpose and His will? I'm asking you. Do you desire to do that? If not, there's no reason to believe that you are a kingdom citizen. There's no reason to believe that. Okay? So how do we desire to do His will? And I love this verse. I would like to share this verse with you, okay? It says in Psalm chapter 40, in sacrifice and offering you have, I do not delight. He's talking about, the scripture is talking about God's delight. God delights in certain things, but He does not delight in your sacrifices and your offerings. He's not impressed with your just being present. You bringing sacrifice does not impress Him. He does not delight in you. But you have given me an open ear. You know what He really is delighted with? If you have the open ear, singular, open ear. Open ear. What does that mean? You desire to listen to Him and obey Him. He's delighted in that. Not sacrifice, not your just physical presence, not just your external, okay, I'll come to church. Okay, I'll listen. He says, I do not take delight. Burnt offerings and sin offerings, I have not required you. He doesn't need that. What's He going to do with the meat that you bring? God actually says that, you know, burnt offerings and sin offerings, they bring meat and food. And God is basically saying, what am I going to do with this meat? You don't even care about this. It's a hypocrisy. It's just nothing, basically. But I desire and I'm delighted with an open ear. Open ear. And then the famous verse that I would like to introduce. I delight to do your will, to do your will, O my God, for your law or your word is in my heart. Do you hear it? Do you know why you don't have the desire? Do you know why you would have desire? I delight to do your will, O my God, for your law and your word is in my heart. I love that verse. We're looking at delight of God and the delight of human being. We're talking about joy of God and joy of you and me. God is not delighted in your external presence. Sacrifice and offerings, He's not impressed with that. But He's looking for your open ear. Are you willing to listen and obey? He said, that's my delight. That humble heart. And then the psalmist basically saying, I delight to do, not knowing. No, I got to get off the train, but you're still on the train. Why? Because you will to desire to stay there. Why would you do that? Because of your inclination, because you love that more. Let me explain that. When we were studying in Romans, okay, in Romans chapter 8, basically, I share this verse. Verse 5 says, if you are living in flesh under sin, you, our mind will be set on flesh. But if you are living under the Spirit, your mind will set on Spirit. Simple as that. If you are still of citizens of this world and Jesus you don't care about, you cannot help but to set your mind on things of this world and your flesh. The word set your mind is phreneo, and basically the word means inclination or bent. Bent. Could you look at me? Everything you see, you hear, it's going to bend toward that. Everything you try to decide is going to bend toward that. Everything you plan, it'll be bent toward that because that's your nature. That's your inclination and that's your disposition because you are under sin and you are living in the flesh. That's why you don't have any desire for Him. You don't have any desire for His will. You don't care about this life. But if you're under the Spirit, which we're talking about different nature, you have been born again. you have a new heart. You have a new desires, new volition, new affection, new plans. Everything you do, everything you try to hear, it'll bend toward Him. Do you catch it? I hope you catch this because it's an important teaching. Okay? How can we possibly desire and we delight in His will? First, you must be a child of God. God needs to be a father first. He needs to be Abba. Otherwise, you have no desire to draw near to Him. You don't care about Him. You don't care to obey Him. You're just going through the motions and try to convince yourself, hopefully I'm okay. But deep inside, you're not really sure. Okay? How is it possible? I'd rather do my will. That's my free will. That's my inclination. My sin nature tells me to be me as a king. Okay? I know I share this many times. Sin by nature is very selfish. Shockingly selfish. Paul Tripp says. Shockingly selfish. Sin by nature is very shockingly selfish. In other words, if you're still under sin, all you care is about you. You do, actually. All you care about is your future, your marriage, your kid, your fame, your pleasure. All you care is about you. You are your world. But when God transforms your heart, gives you a new heart, God becomes your world. Okay? So your delight in God's word and your delight to do His will go hand in hand. They don't go separately. Let me repeat that because I know it's going to speak to all of you. Your delight for God's word and your delight to do His will go hand in hand. Okay? What does that mean? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, listen carefully because Bible is very, very straightforward, isn't it? Do you realize Bible does not try to beautify things? It just reveals you. It's like MRI. I don't know. It just reveals what you got, what you're about, what you're made up of. Listen to this. There's only two categories. By this, we know that you have come to know Him. Okay? By this, what is that? By this, we know that you have come to know Him if we keep or to do His word or commandments. His will. By this, we know that we have come to know Him if we keep or if we do His commandment or His words. And then He gives two examples. See which one you fall into. Okay? Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep or to do His commandment, he is a liar. Obviously, there are liars, right? In First New Testament church, there are liars. I know Him, but I do not keep His commandment. I don't care to live for Him. I don't care about His desire. And basically, it says, you're a liar and the truth is not in Him. Sample number one, okay? The sample number two. But whoever keeps His word in Him, truly the love of God is perfected, which means your life has been born of God. You have been changed. Sample number one, sample number two. Okay. By this we know that we are in Him. Are you in Him? I have to ask you this question constantly. Otherwise, you're confused, actually. You're completely confused. By this we know that we have come to know Him if you keep or to do His commandment or His will, His purpose. If you continue to brush off, you don't care for it, basically, Bible is saying you're a liar if you say you know Him. Bible calls some people liars, and the truth is not in you. However, who keeps His word in Him and truly the love of the Father is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him, if you say you're a Christian, you ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Please look at me, people. Don't deceive yourself. And just keep going. You know which train you're on. These days I ask this question, which train are you on? Are you in a train with the world and following that? Or are you in a train with Christ and following him? It is not very unclear. I don't think that's ambiguous. It should not be ambiguous to you. So many people, from what my pastoral ministry experience, they're in this train. They keep saying, try to convince themselves, no, I'm on that train. How? Because I know. How? Because I go Bible study occasionally. How? Because I go to Friday night and, for Bayside Mission and try to help them. How? Because I went to missions. How? Because I got a discipleship ring. You're a liar. You're being cheated. Okay? If you're in him, truly the love of God is perfected and truly regenerated, born of God. God has given you a new will and new heart and new desire. Do you have that? Finally, coming back to Lord's Prayer, we pray, your will be done on earth as it in heaven. Knowing what this means, how many of you are willing to really pray that? Lord, your will be done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you are willing to say that? Would you say amen? And some of you are hesitant. Some of you say, I'm not ready. I remember talking to a sister many, many years ago. You need to come, follow Christ. And I still remember what she said. She said, I am not ready to give up what I have here. I am not ready to give up this relationship I have here. This disobedient relationship that I have, I'm not ready to give up. I've never seen her since. Brothers and sisters, are you listening? Okay, when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what do we mean? Number one, we are praying that, yes, the king is returning. Listen to me. Historically, really, the king, Jesus, is returning with his resurrected body, glorified body, with his angels, consummate history, judging the living and the dead. And to Christians, that's the great hope. If that's your hope, would you say amen? I don't know about you, that's my hope. I don't see much hope in this world. We get sick and we get old and I don't know. I don't see much hope in this world. But I see hope in this. I don't see justice in this world, do you? That's why people say we need to find justice. Bible promises justice when he returns. You will see justice. Are you ready for justice? Right? And that becomes our hope. And with that framework, you could live this life. God has given you an affluent life. In light of that, you need to live that affluent life humbly. Okay? Secondly, I think, what does it mean when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? I think it certainly means, just like last week, definitely your will be done on everyone else except me. Is that what you're praying? That's ridiculous. You're praying, Lord, your will be done on my life. Right? I care for nothing else right now. I really pray that I will live to his will. I really care for nothing else right now. I want to live for his will. That's what I prayed after graduation from college, going into dental school. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. I don't have to be a dentist. And I'm not a dentist anymore. I practiced 17 years, and I gave it to the Lord. and I continue to follow him. I think what will happen is when you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's going to happen to your life. Amen. Oh, I see a lot of hesitant. Amen. I'm going to ask again. Lord is watching. Amen. I really pray that you will desire that. Or will you just continue to live for your own will, own relationship, selfish gain? You have your free will. You want to stay in that train? You are staying in that train because you desire to stay in that train. You're not getting off because you don't want to get off. Okay. I desire to do your will, oh my God, for your word is in my heart. It's in my heart. Whoever has my commandment and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. Do you love the Lord? Or do you love yourself? Right? In Gethsemane, this is the last passage that I would like to share. Jesus was praying right before the cross, and this is an incredible prayer he prayed. Listen to this. Okay, it's in Mark chapter 14, 36, and this is Jesus' prayer. Abba, Father, everything is possible with you. Take this cup from me. What's he praying? Take this cup of suffering, the cross. Take the cross away from me. He actually prayed that. What is he saying? I want my will to be done. Take this cup away. That was his will. He was tempted. If that prayer ended there, there's no hope in this humanity, in this world. But he did not stop there. Abba, Father, everything is possible with you. Take this cup away from me. And then he said, but not my will, but your will. Be done. Do you catch it? That's what prayer is. Even Jesus had to pray. I said, had to pray. Even Jesus had to pray. Why? Otherwise, he would have tempted and live according to his will. Take this cup away from me. I'm not going there. There's got to be a better way. Don't you say that? I'm not taking this job. I'm going to take this job. Gives me so much more money. I'm going to take this trip because it's so much cheaper. I'm going to do this because it's so much better. If you don't pray, that's how you're going to live. That's how everyone lives. That's why I said without Gethsemane, there is no Calvary. You're not going to follow him. You're not going to take up your cross following. You're just kind of faking it. You're still on a train. You're still on a train because you want to be on the train. That's your free will. Okay? You know what prayer is? Jesus, can you imagine Jesus praying that? Take this cup away from me. Take this cup away from me. I'm not trying to defend Jesus here. That's how difficult it is. And he said, but not my will, but thy will, which means prayer is the place where you submit and surrender your will to his will. Do you want to pray? If you want to pray, would you say amen? And Jesus taught us to pray like this. Okay, meaning that's the posture, that's the attitude, that's the heart desire, that's the resolve. Now you're ready to live a life of obedience. Okay? When we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine the saints in heaven right now. Do you think they will obey like us? Ah, okay, I can't believe he tells me what to do again. I just want nobody to tell me what to do. Do you think they'll be obeying like that in heaven? There is no sin, no trace of sin, because God is holy. Which means there is no desire for rebellion. But they love him.
treasure him.
So living for him is the greatest thing. The greatest thing in all my life is following you. That's what it means, people. Let me close. Can we know the will of God? Can we know the will of God? Absolutely, people. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, the other kingdom, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Of course you can. You disobey because you want to disobey. That's your free will, people. It is through his grace and regenerating work of the Spirit, and his will is written in the Scripture. That's what he meant by, I delight to do the will of God, oh my God, for your word is in my heart. Heart. Do you care to know? And it is through humbling, submitting, obeying prayer, you look up and see what Jesus sees. Otherwise, you live like a blind people of this world. That's what the prayer is. Therefore, it is the greatest privilege. And I think it's the greatest thing for Christians, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray.